In a world where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Happy Saturday to everybody out there. This is 1430 ESPN. This is the Central Valley Sports Report, and I am your host, Paul Metters, live here at First String Sports for the next 2 hours, talking high school football in the Central Valley. September 9th, the year of our Lord, 2023. What? I mean, this is probably the best week. I don't know if I'm going to say the best week of football, but it's probably the most exciting, most anticipation. It's the first full week of football all across the board. Tons of high school football. We just completed week four. College football's in full swing, right, last week. And then we got the NFL. We had our first game on Thursday. Got a full slate on Sunday. Obviously, Monday Night Football. Josh Allen, Bills, right? Jets. Huge, huge weekend. Huge, huge weekend. And we had a huge, huge night last night in the Central section. In a couple minutes, I'm going to relay all the scores to you guys. Chime in whenever I got some information. We're at a couple games on Thursday, I was. And then, obviously, last night, we were broadcasted the Liberty and Buchanan game at Veterans Memorial Stadium, where number one Liberty, well, at least they might have used to be the number one team in the Central section, defeated Buchanan 35-30. After the break, Gabe Camarillo going to be breaking down that game and more. Well, I could preview a little bit, but Central is going to be taking on Liberty at Liberty next week. That is going to be a huge, huge matchup. You can follow me on Twitter at Paul Metters, PaulMeadors, and at 1430ESPN as well. I want to thank Lee's Air Plumbing and Heating. Right now it's 76 degrees with a high of 97 today. And kickoff, 95 degrees. And why do I say kickoff? Well, we all know Fresno State, Eastern Washington, home opener, tons of buzz, sold out, student section sold out, to whiteout game. I'm going to be there. I got my season tickets. I love going to Fresno State games, obviously. We are all Bulldog born, Bulldog bred. And I love rooting on my Bulldogs, become a fan. I'm able to yell at the referees and really cheer. I don't have to be an impartial part of the media. So Bulldog game tonight, Valley Children's Stadium, kickoff 95 degrees. Tons and tons of fun. Can't wait for that. All right, well, what's coming up on the show? I mentioned chatting with Gabe Camarillo. At the bottom of hour number one, around 10:32 or so, Clovis head coach Aaron Wilkins is going to be joining us here at First String Sports. His Cougars are currently 3-1 after defeating Salinas on Thursday. Again, we love those Thursday games because we could go to a game on Thursday and obviously a game on Friday. Defeated them 38-0, shutout. Cougars are impressive this year. So far, they're going to be taking on Bullard next week. Love talking to Coach Wilkins. It's his second year. Does a fantastic job there in Cougarland. At the top of hour number two, McLean coach Andrew Pancotti. Love talking to Coach Pancotti. He was on the show 2 years ago. Wasn't able to bring him on last year, but, man, that guy, he's a Clovis East grad. Played on those incredible teams back in the mid-2000s. Took over the McLean program a couple years ago. Man, I would run through a wall for that guy. That guy is amazing, incredible motivator, big weight room guy. I was able to watch McLean beat my alma mater on Thursday night, at least the first half. Beat him 49-13. He's going to be bringing on a player as well. Dazier Newhouse, who scored the first two touchdowns of the game, is going to be joining us. Bottom of hour number two, we're going to keep it strong here as far as bringing in our student-athletes. We love talking to our student-athletes here in the Central Valley. Carruthers, Hunter Babb. And Coach Brandon Ward is coming on, too. If you haven't heard of the name Hunter Babb yet, well, you should. So this kid threw three games, and I'm excited to see what they did last night. I'm going to get to that in just a second. But through three games, he had 811 rushing yards and 11 touchdowns. Three games. Unreal. Had 364? 364 rushing yards 2 weeks ago against Fireball and six touchdowns. Last night, they defeated Riverdale. Check this out, guys. 79-38. 79-38. I I texted Coach Ward, I don't know, just about 10 minutes ago. I know Saturday is really busy for our coaches, but I texted him, oh my gosh, I'm sure Hunter had a huge game. So we're going to find out soon enough how many yards and touchdowns Hunter Babb rushed for in last night's, again, 79-38 win over Riverdale. All right, let's get into some scores here. This is one of my favorite parts of doing the show. Thursday, I want to mention that Bakersfield defeated Stockton 38-27. So the Drillers get back on the winning side after losing to Shafter last week. Centennial of Bakersfield, good program, 37-0 over Ridgeview. I mentioned the McLean and Emmanuel. Highlanders defeated the Eagles 49-13. Roosevelt, really good win, 34-21 over Mendota. Good job. Tulare Union, Garza. High-scoring affair. I was able to watch the second half of that one. Tulare Union 62, Garza 48. Points aplenty. Now, Jordan Crisp, the quarterback for Tulare Union, he's only a sophomore. That dude can absolutely sling it. Threw for 361 yards and 6 touchdowns. Again, only a sophomore. On the flip side, Caleb Matthews, he is, man, I got to get him on the show. He's one of the top quarterbacks in the Central Section. He had a monster game as well. Came up short, but he's only a junior. Has some Division I offers. Lots of good quarterback play in that one. It was fun to watch. All right, last night, Chowchilla defeated Parlier, 60-0. Again, I mentioned the Carruthers defeated Riverdale. This is in the Northwest Sequoia League. They've already started league. They've already started league, guys. A lot of schools have a game on week five, and then a bye, then they start league, but not the North Sequoia League. They play 7 games in league. Fowler defeated Minarets 59-20, and Liberty Madera defeated Yosemite 40-0. All right, Clovis North, that huge game against Central Valley Christian in Visalia. Clovis North defeated them 48-14. That rushing attack for Clovis North is legit. Big matchup was those guys against Bryson Donaldson. I heard that the Broncos held Donaldson to, I think, around 57 yards. I could be wrong on that. But, yeah, they obviously keyed on him, and that ground attack took over. I saw a couple touchdowns by McKay Madsen and Sinfell. But, to me, coupled with Liberty only beating Buchanan by 5. Now, we're going to talk about that a little bit more. Only beating Buchanan by 5. Buchanan showed us a lot in that game. Us talking about the ESPN crew. Buchanan came to play in that one. Liberty's down from their state championship team from last year. So I believe I'm pumping Clovis North up to the number one spot. I think they are now the number one team in the Central Section. Right? Despite Liberty winning, That win over Central Valley Christian is very, very impressive. Now, next week, Clovis North is going to be tested by Jay Sarah. So that's going to be a huge barometer to how good Clovis North really, really is. Clovis West came back against Bullard. Clovis West was down 20-0 at halftime. Played shutout football in the second half. And, I could say this. I'm going to use the word escape. They escaped with a 21-20 win over Bullard. So Clovis West barely hanging on in that one. Kalinga defeated Reedley 24-0. Dinuba defeated Selma 49-7. Dos Palos defeated Pioneer Valley 41-17. Edison, I believe this game was 0-0 at a halftime, and El Diamante. Edison beat LD 21-7. So the Tigers shut out in the first half, put up 3 touchdowns in the second half. Exeter defeated Granite Hills 55-6. Frontier, how about this? Was this a shocker? Yes or no? A lot of people were talking about this game last night. Frontier beat Hanford at home 35-6. 35-6. I think everyone had Hanford winning that one. Everyone. So definitely got to bump Frontier up. They were Division II last year. They're all on their way to becoming a Division I team. I heard Hanford had, they had trouble with the pass rush. Malachi Statler's a really good quarterback. And so when you give a guy like that time to throw, he's going to pick you apart, and they certainly did. Delano, actually don't have the score on that one. And congrats to Hoover beating Hanford West 44-21. Coach Piero, yeah, congrats to those guys. Really awesome. I saw the tweet out, and it was, it was an exciting time. We know, Hoover, and their program, and they're trying to revive it. So congrats to them for beating Hanford West. Kennedy defeated East Bakersfield 43-21. Kingsburg needed a last-second field goal with 8 seconds left to defeat Golden West at home 31-29. They were down 29-28. Got a field goal to win that one, so they survive. And we mentioned the Liberty and Buchanan game, 35-30. Lindsay defeated McFarland 22-0. And Madera all over Madera South, 48-0. Battle in Madera. Look at that, 48-0. Congratulations to the Coyotes on that one. Mission Oak defeated Mount Whitney, 25-22. Menachie defeated Paso Robles, 24-13. Morro Bay defeated Fresno, 16-13. Redwood defeated Tulare Western, 17-6. Sanger, another one we kept our eye on, went into Lemoore and put on a show. Defeated Lemoore 42-13. Apaches looking strong, looking very, very strong, coming out off of that loss to Clovis East. Shafter, Bakersfield Christian, another game that went down to the wire, 35-34. Bakersfield Christian took the lead. Shafter scored. Coach Perucci decided to go for two. It worked. Ran a play that they had just put in on Thursday. I love that stuff, man. I texted Coach Perucci this morning and said, "How'd you do it?" "Well, we put in a play on Thursday. Didn't want to go to overtime. Our guys were tired. Decided just, all right, we're going to win it or lose it." "Hey, guys, remember that play on Thursday?" "Yeah. Yeah, we call it Batman." Not kidding. True story. They ran it. Got the win against Bakersfield Christian. Sunnyside defeated Kerman 23-22. Interesting note on that. C.J. Jones transferred back to Sunnyside from San Joaquin Memorial, was instantly eligible, and caught two touchdown passes. And that one, very curious situation over there, but they got the win over Kerman. A couple of intersectional scores. Central, they were down to Bishop Diego 14-0 early and just absolutely stormed back. Beat them 48-28. Quarterback had, Earl Riley had four touchdown passes, I believe, in that one. So setting up that big Central at Liberty game next week. Just got a text from Coach Ward. He's going to be coming on the show later. So I wonder how many yards Hunter Babb rushed for in that huge win over Riverdale. You guys ready for this? All right, you guys driving around, maybe you're sitting listening to the show. You might want to stop and listen to this. How does 440 rushing yards on 29 carries and 6 touchdowns sound? Huh? 440 yards rushing? Are you kidding me? I cannot wait to break this down more with Hunter Babb and Brandon Ward at the bottom of hour number 2. But, I mean, that's got to be tops in the state. I mean, I'm thinking Central Section record, right? Maybe? I don't know. Got to talk to Bob Barnett about that one. All right. That is a quick recap of the scores from Central Section last night and Thursday. After the break, we'll be talking with Gabe Camarillo about that Liberty Buchanan, Clovis North. Are they now the number one team? Central at Liberty. Lots of good stuff coming up on 1430 ESPN.
March Madness on locally owned 1430 ESPN.
Yeah, you guys heard that right, didn't you? Right before the break. Hunter Babb of Carruthers rushed for 440 yards in last night's win over Riverdale here at First String Sports. I yelled that out to in store for everybody to listen. You guys hear that right? Hunter Babb. And I guess he was in a few days ago picking up his Letterman's jacket. So he's coming in again. Want to hear straight from him and Coach Brandon Ward, bottom of hour number 2. I don't know. Let's say around 11:32. Make sure you guys tune into that. Make sure, and thank you guys for listening. All right, I really appreciate you guys listening. I love hearing all the great feedback and, you know, positive vibes only. That's what I try to promote here on the show. You know, is high school football perfect or sports perfect anywhere? No, absolutely not. But high school sports are meant to be played for the love of the game. It's pure. Kids are young. They got their whole life ahead of them. A lot of life lessons. So that's what we try to focus on here on 1430 ESPN. So thank you guys for listening. I have a lot of fun. I hope you guys enjoy listening to the show. I'm bringing on Gabe Camarillo. So Gabe, oh my gosh, I wish we had a full 2 hours just you and I talking about all the great storylines that are happening in the Central Section. But I want to talk about first and foremost the Liberty and Buchanan game last night. So Buchanan comes in at 1-2. We know they had to replace a lot of skill position players A few guys have been waiting their turns. And we're going to get some playing time, talking about some seniors, and there's been some young guys that are going to have to step up. Quarterback was a question. Offensive line wasn't. They returned a lot of dudes. Liberty, two-time Central Section defending champs, state champs. They lost a lot, too. So we've had them at number one, talked about them a lot. However, man, Buchanan went toe-to-toe. They did not back down. You know, a play here, a play there, and that's sports, right? It goes a different way. They win this game, but hey, it was a case of Buchanan being a little bit better than we thought and Liberty maybe not being as good as we thought, right?
I would say that's a fair assessment of the situation. Buchanan's just in a cycle year, right? They've had so many good teams the last, what, 5 or 6 or 7 years, going back to when Kendall Milton was a sophomore and they went to the Valley Championship against Central in, what was that, 2017?
Yeah.
Since that point, you know, they've had just year after year after year these Central Section title contending teams. And they graduated Mando, you mentioned that. But I wouldn't just say that this is chalked up to a rebuilding 3-4-win season for the Bears, because they still are well coached. And you look at the talent that they have and how they're getting maximized by Coach Wood and all the staff members that he has that I felt used their talents well. I looked at how Buchanan attacked Liberty. They have some speedsters, so they threw it deep to McKay Lund. They threw it deep to Chiramonte. They have a big physical receiver in Finnegan, so they call plays that allow that to be used as a strength. Like that last touchdown that Buchanan had, it was a play that was just a jump ball for Finnegan, and Finnegan used his strong frame that we've seen muscle fastballs out of a Buchanan ballpark. That same frame muscled his way to a touchdown, and I think the future is bright for Buchanan with the sophomore Finnegan and the freshman Carvell Wafer, who used his speed on a jet sweep to score a 14-yard touchdown run. I think it was a halfback sweep play. That is what I'm talking about. The play calling and the coaching, I feel, is maximizing Buchanan's talent, because they are a bit young and they are a bit experienced, yes, but when you look at how they scored 30 on a Liberty team that everyone thought was number one before last night, there's reasons why people are saying that Liberty is no longer number one, because Buchanan scored 30 on them. But why does it have to be that Liberty's a bit down? I think it's probably more the fact that Buchanan's playing really well right now. They're playing better than we thought they were. And I think maybe if they continue playing this way and they win a couple games in the track, we owe some apologies to the Bear fans that we upset with our preseason prognostications.
Well, high school football can be a funny sport for sure. You could look really good one week and then the next week, you know, lay an egg, and that's the case with a lot of schools. But you're right, Gabe. Number seven to me, he was the best player on the field for Buchanan, Austin Finnegan, on defense as a safety. He was reading Liberty's defense really well, was coming in, wasn't afraid, was fearless, made that nice catch that you mentioned. And that was something that we called. Well, Coach Hill called it. So Coach Hill was able to join the broadcast last night with Jose Gonzalez. And there was a one-on-one coverage, and the quarterback, Logan Sanchez, just threw it up and let your dude make a play. He made a really good play. That sets up, Gabe, a pretty important game next week. So it's Central at Liberty, according to Cal Preps, the website that the rankings go by and the playoff seedings. It got populated this morning, so it's updated right now. Clovis North jumped Liberty, and they are now the number one team. So simplifying it, if the season were ended today, Clovis North would be the number one seed in Division One. The number two seed would be Liberty, and number three, Central. And why is that important? Well, Central faces Liberty, and that's a battle of powers for the last 5 years, Gabe. I mean, since, 2017, you know, it's been Central or Liberty as a Division One Central Section football champs.
Yeah, and these teams are different than those squads, right? The Central teams that we saw win were overwhelmingly athletic. Like, they had just dudes, and they had size, and they have a pocket passer quarterback, first of all, that they haven't had as long as Biggs has been there. They've always had either Tafoya or Stevenson or Tompkins, and those guys were runners. They threw the ball when they had to, and they were pretty good at throwing the ball too, but O'Reilly is really the first true pocket passer that I think Biggs has had, and it's going marvelous for that offense. It's a guy that maybe Biggs sees a bit of himself in, because of the ability to give it to a plethora of receivers. I heard that the number one receiver for Central, Braylon Hall, had 3 touchdown catches, and they're trying to make up for the absence of Noe Felix right now. We're not sure if he's going to be ready to play by next week, but I think regardless of how the injury status is for the Central Stars, they're making it look pretty easy with how they're winning these games. Now, it looked a little hairy in that first half when they were down against Bishop Diego, but I look at how the Grizzlies responded in the second half and how they scored 48 points overall in the game after, I think, scoring 7 by halftime. That, to me, says that this Central team can turn it on when they want to, when they have to, maybe, and they're probably going to be looking forward to turning it on right away against Liberty. I think this is an easy game to get up for, knowing the Patriots' status as what we think is the number one team in the section. And there's still people out there that think Liberty's number one, despite what the computers say. I think if Central beats Liberty next week, I think those people are put to rest.
Yeah, and it helps, too, Gabe, that we were able to watch Liberty and Buchanan last night with our own eyeballs. It's the first time we got to check them out personally. And, you know, computers are computers, right? They'll never replace humans. They'll never replace us. So, yeah, it was good to see those two teams. Couple games of note, Gabe. Sanger, right? Look at those Apaches. Went into Lemoore. We were able to see Lemoore last week, and Clovis West came back and had to have a little bit of luck on their side with a couple turnovers from Lemoore on fourth down, and then a fumble recovery led to that last drive. But look at the Apaches, man. I know they got that loss to Clovis East in that second half, really turned the game around for Clovis East. But what about Sanger?
Really good team that has Centennial coming to Tom Flores Stadium next week.
Yeah.
And the Golden Hawks are considered one of the better teams in Bakersfield. So if Sanger handles that game, they're already number 8 in the Cal Preps rankings. I don't see them losing in the CMAC unless there's an upset there from Madera, because Madera is playing really good football right now. Or Garza, for that matter. Garza can probably win a shootout there. I think that Sanger is showing us they shouldn't be chalked up to as just a Division II team. They got Division I level athletes with Bryson Baker and a young sophomore corner named Carlos Young, who we saw him twice, and he had 2 interceptions in both the games he had against track opponents. And so I feel like when you talk about Sanger, you should mention that their style can really adjust to anyone in the Valley. I am really curious to see if they face a Clovis North in the playoffs in Division I. How does that game go? North has the running game, right? North has the physical 2 backs with Mattson and Sinfell, and they have that defense. But what if you put Sanger against them and Sanger plays a similarly smash-mouth style football with a big offensive line that has Division I recruits on it? Like, I think Sanger and their style, probably, despite what other people might think, Hanford and Redwood have done it before, but if Sanger's in Division I, I feel like that style translates better to D1 than maybe the other 2 Division II teams that we saw pulled up. What do you think?
Yeah, well, I think the style, Gabe, and this is something to think about. I know sometimes you and I talk about the future maybe a little bit too much. Well, at least I do. I talk about playoffs and predictions and all that stuff. But think about when the playoffs are played here in the Central Valley. Think how hot it is here in the first, I don't know, 4, 5, 6 games. And then it turns cold pretty quick. And, you know, when it turns cold, it's tough to throw the football. And those plays that, you know, worked, and, you know, earlier in the season, a lot of times those plays don't work because of the cold. And, you know, Coach Kyle Biggs talks about that fog game, right, in the playoffs, where he tossed the ball to one of his receivers, and he had no idea if it was completed or not. He's running down the field. He's like, did you catch it? Yeah, I caught it. So the weather is certainly going to play a major, major difference in the playoffs. And those running teams, those guys with the big offensive line, usually those types of teams do very well in the playoffs compared to a team that has a spread offense.
I would agree with that, and that's kind of what I was trying to say there. Sanger having that wing T, and maybe them not having a very stable situation at quarterback because they're rotating quarterbacks now with Cropper getting some time there, and then they had Chanta Langsey, who's a gamer there at quarterback. I think it doesn't matter if they don't have a quarterback or not. They're able to use Bryson Baker, who's already been offered by Fresno State. I think Fresno State should try and get him committed as soon as possible because he's usually the best player on the field in any game he's in. He was the best player in the field against Clovis. He looked like the best player against Clovis East. Just the physical stature of Bryson Baker for Sanger. They don't have those guys. They really don't have those guys usually. They don't have the speed. They don't have the strength. The last time that we've probably seen a Sanger team this good, probably when Cropper, Mosby, and Bouse were all on the team back in 2015-16 era. That's how good the Sanger team is. And you know how good they are because they beat Lemoore 42-13 a week after Lemoore almost upset Clovis West. So what does that tell you about Sanger if they face Clovis West? You know, what does that tell you about Sanger if they face another track school? I think if they were in the track, Sanger might be 3-2. You know, you might only think they lose to North and East just based off of what we've seen and how they've matched up against track opponents so far.
Well, one of the fun things that you and I love to do is compare scores. We're going to have some really good games next week. And, Gabe, thanks as always. We had a lot of fun this week and last week going to games, talking about games. Make sure you guys listen to him, Home Field Advantage, 3 to 5 every afternoon from Monday through Thursday. Gabe, good job by you, my friend. Talk to you soon.
I'm a huge Apaches fan. They got three Division I athletes on that team. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to be talking with Coach Aaron Wilkins from Clovis High after the break on 1430 ESPN. Valley Sports Report. I am your host, Paul Metters, live here at First String Sports. Chopped it up with Gabe Camarillo. Make sure you guys follow him at on Twitter as well, at Gabe Camarillo _. All right, Coach Aaron Wilkins, second-year head coach at Clovis High. Cougars are 3-1, coming off of a really, really nice win. Thursday, love those Thursday games, beating Salinas at home 38-0. Coach, welcome in, man. I love chopping it up with you. I mean, you know football through and through. You come in with your, you know, with a wealth of knowledge and a lot of experience out there. But, yeah, welcome, first of all.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And I love when you come in and you're on a show, you're always wearing some type of Cougar swag, man. You always got a new type of hat, new pullover, and you're looking sharp. I mean, do you have an idea of what you want to order? You let somebody else order all the swag?
No, we usually input? I have a ex-Coug. It's Sean Rice at Artworks, and I kind of let him design what he wants to design. I always tell him I want it old school. Want it, you know, back in what you remember from the 70s, 80s, what Clovis is. So he just does his thing, and turns out he does a great job. So, but that's my only requirement. I like it old school. Yeah, I like the throwback. So.
I love it. I love it. All right. So Saturdays after a Thursday game, are your Saturday routines a little bit different than coming off of Friday?
For sure. So Friday, gave them the day off, especially after that win. Just told the kids, like, I want to take care of you. You guys played your tails off. And then watched Clovis West and Bullard last night, and then brought our kids in, and we had a fundamental practice. And that's just getting us all the things that we got to get corrected in terms of lack of fundamentals that I don't like. Then we rep it and prep it. And then, you know, they did a little move the ball this morning, which is just a period of, you know, it's like, for lack of a better term, it's just a little mini scrimmage with your own guys. And then, you know, we had a carnival, elementary carnival at La Monica, and there's 15 feeders there. So it's a great recruiting grounds for me.
This morning?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
This morning. So it's great recruiting grounds for me, just going and talking to, you know, and I mean legal recruiting within your own, you know, feeders or whatever. So just got my face out there. And you know, now our coaching staff is going to break down Bullard, and we're going to make a game plan to go win.
So the 38-0 win at home against Salinas, was it just a satisfying win? Things were clicking. Defense was on a roll. Just how do you quantify that game?
Yeah, I think that was, you know, I challenged our defense. I didn't think our defense has played up to the potential that they could have. And, you know, we do have a really good defense. I don't think it showed against Sanger. I don't think it showed against Whitney. And I definitely don't think it showed against Garces. So I challenged them. I challenged them throughout the week, and, you know, they really responded. This was a Salinas team that's really proud. You know, they're a rough, tough cowboy town just like we are. And, you know, we held them to 20 yards rushing and 90 yards passing. And, you know, obviously they didn't score, which is great. But just the mentality, we got 11 to the ball. They're just, you know, it's just what Clovis defense should look like. And so really happy with that. And then, you know, it took us a while to get going. Shoot, the first quarter and a half, we didn't score. And then it just was a 38 explosion, you know, and when you get stops and continual stops. I always believe in, you know, kind of where you play in, you know, I coach in the MAC, which is Midwest football. It's a wear down process, and you got to wear a team down, and then eventually it'll start rolling. We wore them down, and yeah, it was just a complete win for us. So
you mentioned Cowboy 10. I think they have their own radio station. I think it's called Cowboy Radio.
Yeah,
right on that.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and they have a rodeo. So I talked with the head coach. I was like, why don't we just keep this a deal, and why don't we call it the Rodeo Bowl?
Really?
You know, that was actually cool. Scott Sharton gave me that idea, and I was like, let's do it. Let's make it a cowboy town versus cowboy town, coastal town, you know, versus Central Valley. They're a great program, a lot of tradition. And man, we went up there, and I don't know if you've ever been there to a game. It is a great environment. It's an old school horseshoe, probably built in the 1900s sometime, and it's, their student section is packed right there, and they're flipping nuts. It's awesome. So
probably reminded you a little bit of your crowds, right?
Yeah.
Just the home field advantage
absolutely.
That you have at La Monica.
Absolutely.
So what was working offensively? You mentioned it took you a quarter and a half, and you know, I looked at the stats, and there's your guy, right? Deegan mm-hmm. Rose, what, mm-hmm. 356 and yep. five TDs.
Yep.
You know, I mean, what impressed you during that game, and what, you know, how'd you guys score? What types of throws did you make?
So we always establish a ground game first. We take shots on short yardage. And, you know, people can know the game plan. It doesn't bother me. They still have to stop it. You know, short yardage, we take our shots. And then once we establish a ground game, and then it's play action pass. You know, yeah. we cut some guys in the flats, and they're wide open. And Rosie just does a nice job of dumping it to them. And what my most impressive this week is that, you know, Rosie's still going through that phase where he's got to learn when to hit his third option, even though it's not sexy. It's down there at 2 yards and let him go to work. You know, he's had a habit of, it doesn't matter if the guy's triple covered, I'm going to throw it to him because I believe in myself, which is a great thing, except when you're throwing into quadruple coverage, right? And so he's finally getting there where it's like, all right, first read not there, second read not there, no problem. Hit my check down, and we hit our check down. And then eventually you suck a defense up, and you're able to go over top. And we threw a five-yard hitch to Jacob Saldate, took it for 40. You know, those are the things that he's going to get better at in terms of trusting his guys, dumping it off. And then, you know, we established a ground game in which we're balanced. I always feel like if we can establish over 100 yards on the ground, 300 through the air, that gives us the balance that we need to be the complete team that we are. We're not only an air team. You know, albeit we have a great quarterback, it doesn't mean we're going to sit out there and just throw the ball 60 times a game. I don't believe in that. I believe you have to establish a ground game and play great defense to be a championship caliber program. So that was that game, if that makes sense. We were able to do that.
Talking with Aaron Wilkins, head coach at Clovis High. So, you know, I've watched Deegan, you know, progress over the last couple of years, seen him a couple times this year, a game and a half. And, you know, Duke can make any throw.
Yeah.
Any throw, roll out left, roll out right.
Sure.
Back foot, doesn't plant his foot. Yeah. Off balance, he can make any type of throw. What are your, like, as a coach, what's like your sweet spot for a play call with Deegan? Or what do you really like 15 yard out or seam yeah. route? Or what, yeah. like, what so, do you really enjoy watching?
To his left, and when we sprint him to his left, he loves the smash concept. To his right, he loves the sail concept. The smash concept is just a wide release hitch. We call it a witch with just a 7 cut. And he put one, golly, I think it was Garces. Should have been a touchdown. He'll throw that, and he'll hit the pylon. Like, he's so good rolling to his left and spitting that ball out there. We threw it this week against Salinas. He did a nice job. He completed his hitch this time. And then to his right, I like to run a sail concept with just an MOR, which is must outside release go with about a 15-yard sail route, and he's rolling to his right. So he's got the option, if it's not there, to run it, or if it's there, you're going to take it. And, you know, this week was great, is it wasn't there, and he didn't try to force it. Now he's starting to run. Yeah. And I put in some quarterback power for him too, because, you know, that young man, if you see where college football is kind of going, it's going to be to the running quarterback. So I want to develop that with him, and I want him to establish the ability to run quarterback power and run, you know, when I boot him to his right, if it's not there, go ahead and get your 15 yards, go run somebody over, you know. So it's been good, and he likes those play calls. And, you know, his favorite play on third downs, what we call pistol concept, was just a high low at 10 yards, and he's almost automatic on that. And I always defer to him sometimes. What do you like? I like this. Okay. I trust you. You know, he's a smart football player.
Yeah.
And he's not going to put us in a bad situation by saying, I like this, and throw a, you know, throw a bomb when it's 3rd and 3. He's not going to do that. So
I saw that where he ran over due to Garces. I think it was on their sideline. Where I think earlier in the game, he stepped out of bounds. But the second time, he kind of gave a little, and I, you know, when you do that on, especially on the other team's sideline, they don't like that very much. They're like, okay, bro, all right, you're not going to step aside, so we're going to come at you a little bit harder.
For
but
sure.
He's got that mentality. But coach, I want to ask you too. Obviously, Deegan is, you know, he's a quarterback. Quarterback's the most important position in football, probably all of sports. But who are some other dudes that, like, some unsung dudes that are stepping up, especially in that Salinas game?
Tyler Marquez, he's playing back / receiver for us, and, you know, he's just a weapon. And if once we get him going, And we find a way to get the ball in his hands. He's able to help our offense chunk when it needs to. Jacob Soldate has been awesome. He's so fast. I don't know. He's just so daggum fast. And so we've done a better job of not just throwing in the ball vertical, right? It's too easy just to cover that and double team that. But just give him a little shovel passes or these little jet motions and letting him use his speed. Noah Luganville has been awesome for us this year. I mean, I think he's probably one of the best all-purpose players in the state of California, you know, in terms of playing backer and running the ball. Another shout-out to a kid I think who's doing a nice job of that, too, this year is the kid at Clovis West, Titus.
Yeah.
He's playing running back right now for them and backer. So him, they're both great at that. And then, you know, Roman Moreno has done so many good things for us, and he's such a tough player and such a tough back. And you know, he's punt returning for us. He's running the ball for us. He's making great plays on defense. So we got a lot of really good high school football players in our program. You know, it's not that they're not the Division I recruits, other than Rosie, of course, but they're just really good, solid football players that are competing their tails off.
How would you assess your program coach from a year ago, taking it over and implementing all of your philosophies and getting your coaching staff and weight room and all those details that you wanted for your program? How would you assess your program from that spot to where we are today?
Yeah, just culturally, the shift is there, and you know, the kids understand how hard I want them to practice, how hard I want them to play, and that's the biggest shift, right? Is when you have a new mentality, is getting everybody to buy in, and it was tough. First year's tough, you know, but I think, and I've said this at the beginning or our first show, was that Clovis West game last year and how close we were on that to the one seed.
Yeah.
Got them bought in, if that makes sense. They know how close we are. And right now we believe, even after the Sanger loss, which was tough, we played an awful game, they still believe. Like, they still believe who they are, and they still believe that they can go shoe-to-shoe and toe-to-toe with anybody. And so I'm proud of them in terms of that, and that's just the biggest culture shift in our strength programs. Our guys are massive this year, which is great. You know, we got 250, 260, 270, 280 all across the board. And they're not too heavy set. They're thick, and they can still move, and they're in great condition. So, we're right where we need to be.
And you like your guys – play both ways, right?
Yeah,
what's the philosophy behind it?
It's just, you know, when I recruited, we had a philosophy. We're never going to take a player. If he was a defensive lineman, he should have been an O lineman. Or if he's an offensive tackle and if he's that talented, then why isn't he playing three technique, for example? If he's playing corner, then he better play receiver, because if he doesn't, it means he can't catch the ball. And we, you know, in the college game, it's a turnover game. So that was just when I told my kids, like, hey, look, like, you guys all want to play college football, which I understand, but you got to realize, like, they're not just looking for one-way players. Like, they have to see skill sets, which means if you're a corner, you better have ball skills. How do you know he has ball skills? He plays receiver. You know, I think of the Clovis West kids, they both play both ways. You know, and those kids are Division I recruits. They got great ball skills, but how do you assess it? Because they can catch the ball on offense. So that will always be my mentality. I don't believe in going one way. I know it's kind of like an old Clovis deal, right? They got two platoon and all of that. But I think for the betterment of the kid and the development of the player, it is important. Like, Noah Luganville only played, you know, defense. But now he's one of our best backs.
Yeah.
He's a stud,
yeah.
Right? And what a disservice to that kid to not give him that experience to run the rock. Same with Roman Moreno. He was always just a back. He's one of our best linebackers now, you know? And then I got this kid, Nate Reinhold, and you'll see him coming up. This kid is a great Mike backer, but now we got him at fullback catching touchdowns, and he's a stud.
Yeah.
You know, so that will always be my philosophy. I'm a big believer in making sure kids go both ways.
And you were at the Clovis West and Bullard game. You guys are going to be playing Bullard next week, home or away. Looks like away. Is it going to be at Ratcliffe?
Yep. No, McLean.
Oh, McLean. Okay,
yep.
So at McLean next week. You know, when you looked at Bullard, when you saw Bullard, and obviously you're going to be playing Clovis West, that last game, the last game in league. What kind of stood out for both teams, right? I mean, heck, Clovis West needed to come back, score three touchdowns, and win that one,
sure,
right? So,
sure.
What'd you see on Buller's side you're going to face next week and then Clovis West?
Well, number one is you know, tip cap to Coach Arax, right? You know, you come off whatever it is the first week, he's probably, you know, everybody's probably whatever.
Yeah.
And golly, man, he gets his kids to play. And I thought they were undermatched. I did. And I just thought they just played their tails off. And they got this little back number 7. I'm having a brain fart of what his name is. But man, what a stud that kid was. He was just finding holes and creases, and you know, it wasn't, there was nothing like flashy about Bullard. They were just running it down Clovis West. They were just running it down their throat, and the guy was making plays, and golly, it happened fast. Like, they were up, and then, you know, on the other side of it, it makes you realize like how fast Clovis West can score, because like you're feeling really good if you're Bullard, and then one play later, you know, 80 touchdown. Okay. And that's kind of just the that's just what it is. And, you know, I told our kids, and I told them at the beginning of the year, you can never score compare. And I think that's the toughest thing that you can do as a kid. And kids love to do that. And we like to do that, right? Compare the scores. Well, think about this. Hanford beat Bullard, whatever it was, 71-7. Okay. Well, Bullard goes and competes against Frontier and puts a better game together against Frontier than Hanford did. How does that make any sense? It doesn't make any sense, right? And then you were to score compare, okay, well, if Hanford beat Bullard this bad, then Clovis West should be able to, too. That's not the case. And they're a proud program. They do a great job. Coach Arax does a great job. And they are not going to roll over for anybody. And so for our kids, you know, I think it was the best thing, me going to that game and texting the kids, like, yeah, you better strap it, yeah, up, because these guys are going, if you're not careful, they'll beat you. So I'm excited for it. I'm excited for the challenge. It's a rivalry for us and them, and it's a great coach that will get his kids ready to play.
I want to explore this a little bit, Coach Wilkins, about high school kids. You've coached at the college level. You've played at the college level as well. You know the landscape. High school kids are a different animal, right? You talk about consistency. Sometimes you don't know from practice to practice what you're going to get, from drill to drill, sure, sometimes, and then from game to game. Score comparisons are interesting, right?
Sure.
Us talking heads, we like to do that. That's part of the gig, and, you know, we like to talk about rankings and whatnot. But, you know, it is a different animal coaching high school kids, and it is tough to score compare. Like, is this team better than this team? I don't know. We'll, yeah, find out if they play each other.
Correct.
And even sometimes if you play each other, you don't really –
no doubt.
It's tough to tell, right?
For sure. And it's matchup-based, right? You know, we match up better against some teams than other teams. So it's all predicated on the matchup and the game plans. And, you know, when you – especially in the track, when you got every coach as a daggum good coach – you know, and you may not put together a great game plan, and you can get beat, you know, or your quarterback may have a down game, or, yeah, you're going to get, yeah, beat, you know, and especially this year, there's more balance than it's ever been.
Sure.
You know, there's not one dominant team. So I tell our kids, you know, it's funny you say consistency, because that was the word of our week. And I give them what I call a wow is word of the week. I said, boys, it's just about consistency. Like, how consistent can we be play to play? How consistent can you do your job? And if you can lock in and do that, we can, when we play our best football, Clovis High can beat anybody on our schedule. And so, you know, it was nice to see this week transition, especially, you know, we had to bounce back from that Sanger deal. You know, we had to, and they've done a nice job of that. But you talk about consistency, that's, yeah, very inconsistent for us to play such a great game against Garces to that next game,
sure,
and then another great game against Whitney, and now, you know, against Salinas. So hopefully we can start stacking these wins.
Consistency and then balance. I think about balance when I think about the track this season, and I can't remember a more balanced year. I mean, each team has its strengths and weaknesses, but, right? I mean, track is – I could not even make a prediction who's going to win tracks. Like, I could have an opinion,
sure,
but I couldn't make a prediction. You know, after the five weeks, it'd be like, oh, boy, I had no idea this was going to happen.
For sure, 100%. And, you know, it's just put the ball down and we get to figure it out. But it's a lot of fun this time of year because it happens in college football too, right? It's the overreactions, and then it's all of a sudden like, wow, man, we didn't see that coming. You know, we didn't see this team getting upset by this team, so on and so forth. And, you know, I think, you know, a lot of people last night with Liberty Buchanan, you know, you make assumptions like, hey, Buchanan's, sure, down. No, they're not. Are you kidding me? Like, that, they got a great coach. They got a great tradition. They got great pride. And yeah, they could have. And probably if they go back and watch tape, there's moments where they should have beat the number one team in the section. Right. And so, you know, and it's just great for us as coaches. Like, okay, can't take anybody lightly, right? Not in this. We're in the SEC of Central Section football.
I agree wholeheartedly. We got a couple minutes here, Coach. Our time always flies by. I want to ask you a couple things.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you probably know what my last question is going to be, because we always end our conversation,
sure,
that way. But NIL, mm-hmm, can you just – what are your views on it at college? Again, you've,
yeah,
been to college. Like, mm-hmm, is it working? Is it not working?
Yeah. There's got to be some restrictions on it. Now, here's my philosophy, and this is crazy, but my opinion is if you can pay them, you should be able to cut them, right? And I think, you know, with the super conference stuff that's going to happen here pretty soon, I'm very curious on how the NCAA is going to manage the money, right? And say this is competitive equity versus not, right? Because, you know, I was at the mid-major level, and unfortunately, you know, our kids that we recruited, we developed, had a great year and got paid money to go to Iowa or Ohio State or whatever, right? And I think I understand from a kid perspective, like, and I get that, right? And it's best for your family, it's best for you, so on and so forth. But what you can't do is you can't tell coaches that you got to put your livelihood on these kids and then allow things like that to happen, because tampering's happening. You know, you can say it any way you want, but there are people that are reaching out to kids that are playing at X school and already recruiting them to go to the next year to this school based on the money, right? You saw it with the Pittsburgh receiver going to USC. There was tampering involved. Like, everybody knows that. And I think that's the thing, is that if there's rules and regulations, please just uphold them and make them consistent. But I feel like it's getting in the Wild West. I'm glad I got out at the right time, that I think I did. And I don't want college to turn into pros, but that's just what it's kind of turning into. But the, you know what the scariest part is? It all trickles downhill. All of a sudden, you watch what high school is going to turn into here pretty soon. Because if you can pay him there, why can't you pay him in high school? That would be scary.
It's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's going to happen. It's going to become – yeah, it's going to come sooner than I think later. Coach, we got about a minute and a half here. Mm-hmm. You have your time at Fireball, obviously, with Josh Allen. Give me another Josh Allen story. You got something you can share with us?
Well, you know, I mean – golly, there's so many memories to go back to, and I'm trying to think of which ones I'd said or didn't say.
Well, there's a one at Reedley, right, yep, where he didn't start.
Sure.
He didn't even start.
No. I mean, Josh didn't start as a sophomore. He had to wait until he was a senior to get his starting job, right, because he had Marcus Espinosa in front of him. And, you know, that's a typical Josh story, to just bide your time and stick it out. You know, golly. How many parents now, if their kid is not guaranteed to start, panic and move, where it's at the end of the day, just stick it out, man. Just, and that's a Josh Allen story to me, is, you know, he stuck it out in Fireball. Mom and dad never transferred and would never dare. Went to Reedley College. He was clearly the better player, but didn't start. You know, waited to week four, you know, and then Josh made everybody look like a good coach, if that makes sense. So, you know, I'm happy to be connected to that young man and his story, because it really is an underdog story, and he still plays like that in the NFL. You know, and I can't wait to watch him play on Sunday.
I can't wait.
That's going to be a game.
That's going to be fun. It's going to be a lot of fun. All right, Coach, always enjoy our time together. It goes by so fast. Good luck the rest of the way again. Clovis is taking on Bullard at McLean Stadium. Got the bye week, and then you start off with, just like Central. You mentioned, start off with Central, North, Buchanan, East, and West.
Yeah, nothing like that. Huh?
Nothing like that. Oh, my gosh. That's truly the gauntlet. But yeah, thanks for coming in, as always. Really appreciate you.
Go Cougs.
All right. Coach Aaron Wilkins coming up after the break. Talking with more coaches. McLean's in the house. Andrew Pencotti's got one of his players. Zaire Newhouse coming up on 1430 ESPN.
Listen to The Rich Eisen Show weekdays at 10 a.m. In a world where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. That's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Welcome to hour number two of the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. Thank you guys for listening. Happy Saturday to you, September 9th, 2023. This is a football heavy weekend, that's for darn sure. You know, I mention this every once in a while, but I'm a teacher. This is my 27th year teaching. I teach fifth grade down in Traver, but I coach the eighth grade football team there, flag football team. We're in a nice league, and we check this out. You guys will really like this. So Thursday, we had our opening game, Traver. We beat Emmanuel, not kidding, 27-8 to open up our season, and then you guys were able to play Emmanuel that night. So we're going to talk about that in just a second. But what an incredible weekend of sports. Last night's high school games, we were able to run down in hour number one. Had a great conversation with Clovis coach Aaron Wilkins. College football, man, we got that big one. I think it's at 4 o'clock, Texas and Alabama. And then, of course, Central Valley, Fresno State. Valley Children's Stadium, 6 o'clock. Be there. Watch it on TV. Listen on the radio. It's going to be a lot of fun. Whiteout game. But great week of football. Bring it in. McLean head coach Andrew Pencotti, third year. He's doing an incredible job there. Love talking to this guy. Bringing in one of his dudes, one of his players, Desir Newhouse, who had a great game against Emmanuel. First of all, thanks, guys, for coming here to First String Sports. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Paul. We really appreciate what you do for high school sports.
Thank you. All right. So, Coach, I want to ask you first, the Emmanuel game, so Thursday night, home opener, right, at McLean Stadium. What an impressive first half. You guys were up four. You had 42 points in that first half, 42-6, I believe. I mean, just talk about that game, how the electricity and the fireworks are on the field.
It was our regional night, which was epic. The stands were packed, right? We had both our junior highs there, all our elementary coaches and players. Our CCD put on an epic show with the balloons and the music. Our administration was out there supporting. It was just great. But first and foremost, my coaching staff is amazing. They're more than coaches, right? They're mentors. They're father figures. They are leaders and multipliers. I have the best coaching staff in the section with DJ Savoy, Mike Ware, Yonel Henry, and Demo. And these guys worked all summer, and this is why we were able to win the way we won.
I was impressed, Coach. I was able to talk to you just a little bit before the game. I was roaming the sidelines about a half an hour before the game. You guys were out there early. You guys were getting after it. Your coaches, you guys were coaching them up. I mean, it's not just warm-ups. You just don't let your dudes go out there and warm up. You're like, hey, guys, you know, captains, whatever, lead your guys. Your coaches are in there showing them stuff, teaching them up until the kickoff.
Again, it's my coaches that allow us to have this success, right? They are the ones coaching our boys. They take pride in their positions, and they work very hard.
And this guy got the party started that night. And, Coach, just talk about – Desir's, and you know, he got that 5-yard touchdown run to start the scoring, and then that 60-yard pick six was right in front of me. I got a nice view of that. You just read that perfectly. Gone to the house. So talk about this guy and the performance he had, Coach.
Yeah, well, the on-the-field stuff is a byproduct of what he does every day in the weight room and on the field, right? He does not miss practice. He shows up early. He's there. He's a leader. He leads the warm-up, and he is coaching other players, right? We call that being a multiplayer, right? So he does a great job what he does, and I'm so proud of him for how he's grown as a football player, but also how he's grown as a person.
Desir, let's talk about that pick six, right? Talk about how you read the play, and just walk us through that play.
Okay, so we had two plans going on defense, that either I'm going to set the edge on a run, or if they come in on a doubles, then we go back to our base. And, you know, we've been running that defense since I became on varsity. So that's just like, I'm just immune to that defense. And I read it perfectly. And I just had two good blocks in front of me. And I was just playing around. You know, it was there.
I saw it. I had a good view. Yeah, you were kind of swiveling at the end a little bit. And it was a great run. What do you think that did, Desir, for the confidence of the team? Just, you know, pick sixes are electric. They're exciting. But what do you think it did for the confidence in that game for McLean?
I think that was a big play for me and my teammates in the game, because it's always like that. Like, they, I wouldn't say wait for me, but, like, I always, like, you know, get the game started and they build off my energy, you know. And then once I made it, everybody was like, okay, we got this. And then, you know, we was celebrating together. You know, we all just happy for each other, and that just, like, pushed the game. And then that's, like, when we knew it was, like, over with, like, we knew not to play with them. We practiced our week before that. We even practiced on a Monday with no school, you know, just to be ready. So we just knew what we had to do. And that started the game, and that brought the energy up, and everybody was ready after that.
Coach, was that about a perfect half as you've been able to coach, right? Just seeing that unfold 42-6 at halftime.
Well, yes, and especially when we had our starting quarterback go down, right? He had a knee injury first play. We've talked about in the offseason overcoming adversity. And when adversity hits, what are you going to do? How are you going to react? You know, previous years, maybe McLean players have turned on each other, cussed at each other, have broken down. But with our leadership, with guys like Desir and Noah Zamora, who stepped in when we faced adversity and led and had a perfect half.
It was a perfect half, and you mentioned your quarterback. It was the first play of the game. Ran to the right and got stood up, and you know, I think it's knee buckled a little bit, but yeah, perfect example of overcoming adversity in that game. I want to talk Coach Pancotti about the mindset going into that game against Emmanuel. Emmanuel came off a really good win against Fowler. The quarterback had a huge game. He threw for over 400 yards against Fowler. They got a few guys eligible, man. Their offensive line was big. And
some big boys.
Yeah, they had some really big boys. I think, number 79 looked like about 6'6", about 350 pounds. So that dude was a monster.
Big Samoans.
Big Samoans. So yeah. What was the mindset going to that game? You mentioned it was feeder night or junior high night, and so huge crowd at home and over. What was the mindset going to that game?
Yes, it was our regional night, the stands were packed. Again, I'm so proud of the McLean community for coming out and supporting us on a Thursday night. We knew they can run the ball. They're well coached. They have good linemen, had a good running back, 34. They want to run inside the tackles. So they want to run trap and counter and buck. And so we knew we had to stop the run because we knew we can defend the pass. That's not a question. We got Mike Ware with DB Guru, and we got guys like DeZero Newhouse out here. We got Jaron Scott. We have a true freshman starting, Juju Scott. And then I got a 10th grader, Demetrius Simon, who had the pick six, 100 yards return. I got electric athletes back there. And so the game plan was stop the run, make them pass, right into our strength. And that's what we did.
So you start off the year with a loss to Porterville 26-9, and then you beat Mendota 23-7, and then the Emmanuel game 49-13. So Porterville's got a darn good team.
Porterville's really good.
They got
the route coach. They got a great line, offense, defense. They got two platoon, dynamic athletes. They're really good. We were inside the five two times. We didn't capitalize. It would have been a closer game. But I'm glad we started with a Porterville because I truly believe that's going to be the toughest game on our schedule when it comes down to it.
Yeah, and what was the mentality after that loss? Was it more like, hey guys, we gave it our best shot, Porterville's a good team, or it's like, hey guys, we got a lot to clean up?
Yeah, well, again, it was overcoming adversity. A lot of times when I first got to McLean, if we had a loss, it was like took us 3 days to overcome it, and it was like kids are going to miss practice, kids not showing up, kids coming up with excuses, not making it important, right? And this group I have, all of them showed up. Right, they all showed up on Monday. Even if we had a day off on from Labor Day school, from school, they all showed up, which is my first time of that happening. So again, they make it important. They find a way, and they get here and they show up, and that's why we're having success.
Talking with Andrew Pancotti, the head coach at McLean, Zier Newhouse. So, is that true, Zier, that maybe in the past, you're a junior this year, so you've been around the program for a while, and in the past, players, even maybe from play to play, give up a long touchdown. You're like, come on, guys. But is the mentality this year different? Like, you got a different feeling, right?
Yeah, I 100% agree that the atmosphere, that everything has changed from when how he started it into how now it is. We're more bought in. Everybody's like more like we know what we want to do now. We got a hard coach, Pancotti, on us. We all just like it's like, we just. We're tired of losing, so we all working, and yes, for sure, changed a lot.
So your next two games are against Fresno and then Torres on a Thursday. So another
Thursday games in a row, which is unique, but we get Fridays off, I guess.
Get Fridays off, yeah. Coach Wilkins, same thing. Gave the boys off Friday, and they were hitting it hard on Saturday. Fresno got beat by Morro Bay, but what about the momentum that you guys have coming off the Emmanuel, the momentum going into those games? We know Torrey's going to be a tough game. Fresno High is kind of a rivalry game as well. But what about the momentum?
Yeah, it's great, and we got to capitalize on it, right? We can't fall asleep against Fresno High and go down 21-0. And I think that the Bullard-Clovis West game is a good example, right? Like any team on any Friday or Thursday can beat you. One pick six can set the tone. All of a sudden, things aren't working well. I mean, you even see college teams losing. Clemson, right, losing to Duke. So any Friday, any Thursday, you got to bring your A game, and my boys are ready to do that. And then we got to roll into Thursday, the following Thursday, Torres, where I think is a very well-coached team, good linemen. They run the ball and so on. Then Roosevelt's doing great with the new coach over there. Sunnyside's always going to be good. C.J. Jones is back over there. Every team we play we got to capitalize.
No, absolutely. So, again, Fresno High next week on a Thursday, and then another Thursday game against Torres. And then, Roosevelt, Sanger West, Madera South, Sunnyside, and then you end the regular season with Hoover. I want to ask you a question, Desir. How is Coach Pancotti and his assistant coaches, how do they inspire you to be a better person and a better player?
Well, Pancotti inspires me multiple ways because it's not always about football to him. He makes sure I'm good mentally. You know, he's always going to be on me physically to be in the weight room, stay working and get bigger and faster. But, like, you know, what's most inspiring is that I know that he really cares about me because he does stuff that he doesn't have to do just out the bottom of his heart, which also the other coaches do. Like, it's like we're a family. It's not even a team. It's like we're just family, you know. If we're not doing good at practice, you know, he'd talk to us before we get in trouble, and then he'll remind us why we in trouble. But it's just family business over here, you know. He makes sure we're straight, and that's, you know, that makes me want to play for McLean and, you know, keep building up with Pancotti because I know he's going to make sure I'm good in the long run, not just when it comes to football.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. So, Coach, you and I had a conversation a couple years ago on my show. We're sitting on the other angle. And you told a story about how, you know, you got the job at McLean, your first meeting. You're like, where is everybody?
Yeah.
Right? And some people say, I think this is everybody, yeah. Coach. What, 10, 11, 12, 12 people?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
For your first meeting for varsity football.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Does that seem like a long time ago? Like, how, you know, I mean, to be at this moment where you got guys that are bought in, sitting next to you and sitting next to me, that are, you know, praising you for being instrumental in their lives, to come from that point to now this, I mean, what does that mean to you?
It's big. I truly pour my heart and soul into my boys and my coaches. I love them. I believe in them. I believe that they are very capable of winning, not only in football, but in the weight room and as a student, but as a person. I tell these kids, man, if they want something in life, they're going to have to take it because no one's going to give them anything. Right? Where they come from and the lives they have. A lot of my kids are foster kids, you know, homeless, group home, and single parent homes raised by grandma and grandparents. And they have all the excuses in the world, right? But I tell them, hey, it don't matter. Because guess what? You have to change it. You have to take it. You have to make it important. You have to be the best student athlete and person you can be so you can win forever, not just in football and in the weight room. And I tell these guys all the time, I can't wait to see you go to college. I can't wait to be at your wedding. I can't wait to see you be a father. Like, I want to see you succeed in all aspects in life and forever, not just in the, you know, 2023 league playoff. That's will be fun, and that is exciting. But for me personally, it would be great to see him have a college degree and all my athletes.
Kuzanakana, McLean coach Andrew Pancotti, and where does that come from? Where does that giving attitude come from? Was it instilled for you? Did you go through some adversity in your own life? Like, why do you have such a big heart?
I just think that I have the best father, Louis Pancotti, in the world. He is my coach, one of my coaches, that runs the camera. And I call him Grandpa. He just turned 65, right? But that man, since I was a baby, has shown that he's a giver. He's a lover. He cares for all. He'll do anything for any of my boys and myself. He's housed multiple kids from Clovis East that didn't have a home, and we picked kids up, and we would have 6-7 dudes in a car. You know, I grew up over there on Argyle Street, over behind Fancy Creek, and a lot of those kids were in the apartments over there, and we would pick them up and drive them to Clovis East. You know, and so the number one reason why I am the way I am is because I had a father, a mentor, and somebody to love me unconditionally, and he still does, and so that's why.
That's amazing. When you look at these student athletes, Coach, you just see potential, right?
Absolutely.
And then when you see, you know, the reward, a lot of the reward is what you see on the football field, but a lot of reward is what happens afterwards and how they conduct their lives on a daily basis, right?
Yes, sir.
So, Desir, what are some of your favorite subjects in school? What do you enjoy about school? Let's get into school a little bit. I know football's awesome. Sure, you can't wait to get on the field, but what are some classes and some subjects that you enjoy?
I like math sometimes. Sometimes math be confusing.
That's hard. I'm not gonna lie.
But I like numbers, you know. So I would say math, English, and I liked it. My electives, my last two electives, Spanish was good. It was something new. Learned a new language. You know, I'm kind of. Yes.
So what do you like to do off the football field? Like, you like to hang out with your guys? You play video games? You watch any shows on TV? What are some things that you like to do off the field?
Off the field, you know, I got a few friends. I be with some of my friends sometimes, but a lot of the times I'm just with the family at the house. You know, I play games sometimes. I balance. You know, I'm a balanced kid. I do a little bit of everything.
He's always texting me.
Yeah.
New ideas. Right, yeah, new plays. Look at my dog. Coach right here. What about this? Check this out. Look at this. Look, you know, so. Yeah.
Did you play other sports growing up besides football?
I played basketball. Well, not growing up. No, football's just been me, like, the whole life has been football. But, like, I started playing basketball, like, 7th grade year. Then 8th grade year, we had COVID. So, I had one good little year of basketball in middle school. And then as I got in high school, I started playing around with basketball, do a little sprint training. But other than that, it's just been football. I started playing basketball last year.
Okay.
He can do it all. He can do basketball, track. He can do it all, man. All He's right. an athlete.
Can you play basketball?
No,
coach?
I'm a wrestler.
You're a wrestler.
I'll wrestle. Yeah, man, I'll take you down. And I play basketball like a football player.
That's what I would think. You'd be the type of guy that I would hate to play against because you're always fouling because you don't know what you're doing out there.
I'm gonna be in your hip pocket. I'm gonna be on you the whole time. You're gonna run. And that's it. And don't try to put a screen on me because I'm running through it.
That's how they say I play too. I play basketball like a football player.
Correct.
But. Playing basketball like a football player kind of helps being basketball because it's just like the energy you bring, you know, just because you want to win, you know.
Yep.
So that's like – that's not just a bad thing.
I agree. Talking with McLean, Coach Andrew Pancotti and Desir Newhouse coming off of a really big win against Emmanuel. Coach, I want to ask you – we only got about 4 minutes here, but I want to ask you about football in general and Fresno Unified. Right, a lot of people talk about it, right? Let's be honest, and you know you're right in the thick of it. When's Fresno Unified going to have a team that's just going to rise up and win some playoff games and stuff? So, you know, what does Fresno Unified need to do better? Is it feeder programs? Is it starting them early with tackle football? I mean, what are some answers?
Well, I think that coming from Clovis and being in Fresno now, I've seen both. Right, the men at Clovis East and Fresno's big. It's the third biggest district, right, in the state. And when you get big and you're spread out, it makes it a lot tougher, right? But I think the number one thing that Clovis has compared to Fresno is resources, right? Our kids are coming from homes that we don't have the resources of the community. For example, I'm trying to run a snack bar. Right, I don't necessarily have the parents that want to support or can support to run the snack bar for 7 hours. So I have to rely on my family, right, and my loved ones to support us and be there. And I'm very lucky to have a girlfriend that does that for us, right? But I think it comes down to, yes, resources, but in fifth grade, sixth grade, tackle football would be great, free. Right, not where we can charge, because again the resources don't allow us to pay $500 for the club stuff that's going on. Junior high, is doing well. I got a really good feeder program coming through with SCAN. They on Saturdays they do a great job of putting on junior high football games. But again, it's the resources and building those kids up, fifth, sixth grade in elementary.
So, do all junior highs in Fresno Unified have tackle football?
I don't know about all, but I know and Yosemite do, and they, but I believe all of them, Gaston and all those guys, they all have tackle football.
Okay.
Tanaya, and it's competitive and it's run very well. They play at the stadiums.
Okay, so. Great. I want to ask you too about, you mentioned Clovis East, and you mentioned you coming from a program that was one of the tops, not only in the Central Section but in the state. When you see a school like Clovis East now that went through a rough time,
yes,
right? Let's be honest. And now they're kind of, they're kind of back. Is that kind of how you see, like, McLean, right? We talked a little bit off air about their last playoff win was, in the early 90s?
Yeah.
You kind of just see, like, McLean just gradually, and you put the time in, to become where, hey, we're gonna try to win the league, and we're going to win the league, and then we're going to try to make the playoffs, and then we're going to win some playoff games.
Yeah, so I tell the guys all the time, that's old McLean. Yeah. In 95 and all these other years, I wasn't there, and they weren't there. And the way they did it, whatever they did it. This is the new McLean, and we're going to do it differently because we want to succeed. And we just continue to have that approach of anytime we have a bad day or anytime we're having a bad moment, we have to push pause, and then we bring them in. This behavior, these actions, what you're doing right now does not resemble what we are. So we need to change it. And then that's when our leaders step up and say, I mean, hey, stop messing around. Let's go. Let's refocus and continue to move forward. But, yeah, that, again, we're here now. The kids I have here now, I got my whole defense is returning next year, except my middle linebacker. We're young. I got ninth graders starting. I got 10th graders that Demetrius Simons has a 3.8 GPA, plays both ways, had a pick six for 100 yards. The future is bright. The energy is there. And the new McLean, man, we're moving forward.
You agree?
Yeah, I agree. Here. Yes, we're very young. We've been returning since I've been a sophomore. So, yeah, it's just only way is up, you know. Got to go by slow, though. We can't just win everything over one day, you know. We just got to keep working, keep building for what we want, and yes. Reap what you sow. The more work we put in, the more greater outcomes we get.
I love that.
That's awesome. That's mm-hmm. awesome. And you can see, Coach, the values that you've instilled over the last couple years, how it's just seeped into your players and – I mean, that's just a reflection of the amount of work that you've put into your program. Coach, we got time for another question here. What would a successful season be this year for McLean? You talk about how you invest in these young men, but is it a league championship? Is it a playoff win? How would you count the season as a success in your opinion?
Well, first we go 1-0, right? We focus on 1-0, 1-0, 1-0, and then that will take us to where we need to go. But our goals are to have a winning record, which would be like, again, the first time since, I don't know, 90s or what the data says. And to win our first playoff game, right? Like we tell the boys all the time, we're not prepping for 10 games or 11 games. We're looking to go 15 games. We want to push to a playoff. We want a section championship and a state championship. Last year, we beat Mendota in week three it was, and they ended up winning the D6 section. And pushing it all to the state. That's our goal. That's what we want to do. And with our boys and our leaders want to do it too. So,
well, awesome. Well, I was so happy I was able to watch you guys on Thursday night. The energy was great at McLean. You guys had a phenomenal first half. It was great to connect with you again, Coach. You're a shining star in the Central section. I really appreciate you and your hard work in these kids, and the program does not go unnoticed. So congratulations.
Thank you so much, Paul.
Jazeera, congrats on that pick six and that other touchdown.
Thanks.
Good luck
the
rest of the way. Really appreciate you coming in.
Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, guys. Yep. Coming up after the break, we're going to be talking more high school football. Carruthers is in the house. Coach Brandon Ward and Hunter Babb here on 1430 ESPN.
Listen to Sportsline, the Bulldog Hour, every weekday at 2 p.m.
Welcome back to Central Valley Sports Report, 1430 ESPN. I'm your host, Paul Metters, live here at First String Sports. First String Sports, definitely the place to be. You guys know where it is, on Blackstone Avenue in between Herndon and Sierra. And this is the only place where I'd want to do my show. This is the best place ever to have a high school sports radio show because I'm in the Letterman's Jacket room off to the right-hand side at First String Sports. I'm looking at Letterman's jacket from Sanger, Kerman, Boulder, Woodlake, Buchanan, Clovis North. So come on down here for String Sports. It's the only place to get your Letterman's jacket, and they will definitely hook you up. I mean, they got everything else. You want baseball equipment, football equipment, whatever you need. They've got the hats of the high school teams on the central section here too. So they got everything. Come on down here for String Sports. They are my day one sponsors. Love these guys. All right, just had a really good conversation, man, with Coach Pancotti. That guy, I would run through a wall for that guy. He does a great job at McLean, and it's showing on the football field. He is he invests in the young man, a part of his program, and it's really, really good to see. So thanks to Coach Pancotti and Desir Newhouse for coming in and sharing their story with us. Close up the show. Man, we got a couple really staples of the Carruthers football community. Coach Brandon Ward is in the house. I've gotten to know Brandon over the last couple of years, able to coach in the city county football game. Got that big win this summer. That was awesome.
That was fun.
And that was really fun. And then Hunter Babb, running back extraordinaire, right? We knew how good he was last year and, you know, that great season that he had. But this year is just a next level stuff and breaking records left and right. So looking forward to talking to them for the next 20 minutes or so. So, Coach, I want to talk about last night's game. Riverdale.
Yeah.
Right? So we're checking scores. We're scrolling through. I'm like, yeah, I have a feeling Carruthers are going to put up some points tonight. And then I look, and it said 79. And I thought it was like like a misprint or something. Like, maybe 59. Yeah, I could see that. 49, yeah. Okay.
That was first half, Paul.
Yeah.
Come on. Something in the first half.
Oh, okay. There you go. In the first half. But 79 to 38. So I'm like, oh, I know Hunter had another good game. Came into the game with 811 yards and 11 touchdowns on the season. But, Coach, what was working right in that game? And, you know, we'll get into Hunter's game as well. But, you know, what – talk about that game and what went right.
The game was kind of frustrating in the first half, to be honest with you. I mean, our offense was clicking. I mean, obviously, we scored 51 points in the first half. They couldn't stop us. We didn't punt. I mean, we scored every possession. But defensively, it was a little frustrating because Riverdale has a really good quarterback. He's an athlete, and they got a couple of one really good receiver, number three, and then another good receiver. And so, you know, the guy would just scramble, and he'd either hold the ball for 6 or 7 seconds, and then, you know, you can't ask your DBs to cover for that long, right? Or he'd scramble and, you know, pick up, you know, 8 or 9 yards. And we figured out in the second half, like, okay, we'll just take that. Like, we don't want him to – we got to put pressure on because – you know, we went back and forth. What do we do with this guy? Because he's I mean, the quarterback from Riverdale is really good. So they put up 38 points on us. And you know, the coaches got frustrated. The players got frustrated. I think that was a reflection of the coaching staff. I'll take the lead on that. That's my bad. So we just went into halftime and said, look, man, it's going to be all positive the second half. And you know what, Paul? We came out and shut them out. Gave up 38 in the first half and zero in the second. And there was zero bickering going on.
Funny how that works, huh?
Well, it is. You know, it's you know, sometimes we forget about or overlook the psychological aspect of this game because it's an emotional game. And when coaches start getting really emotional, the players, they feed off of that, right? And so, we just decided as a coaching staff, you know, we're not doing that. We're not, you know, we're gonna stay positive. We're going to look at the things that are good. We're going to celebrate those and praise those and – man, credit to the players, man. They came out and just really got after it the second half. I'm really proud of the defensive effort. Like I said before, our offense wasn't the problem. Our offense scored points first half. They scored points the second half. But our defense really stepped up that second half. And, you know, and I'm gonna say something that, you know, I spoke to the guys right before the second half kickoff. I said, look, man, I'm not trying to get religious on you guys, but here we go. I believe God tests us and gives us challenges to see how we'll handle it. And, man, I'm proud of how our guys handled it the second half, man. They stood up and just took on the challenge, played like a team, like a band of brothers. It was awesome. So
we got a guy sitting in the middle between us right now that looks like he had a pretty good game. All right, and he's had some good games leading up to this. 440 yards, 6 touchdowns. Yeah. So, Coach, I want to ask you first before I get to Hunter about that game, but when you got a guy like this that you can rely on, what does that mean in a game like that? You can rely on a kid like this to get the job done.
Hunter's a special kid, man. I'm so thankful and blessed. You know, God has a plan, and Hunter ended up in Carruthers for a reason. You know, and God is blessing him with his talents. Hunter, give all credit to God, but give credit to Hunter, man. Hunter's taking advantage and doing what God intended for him to do. You know, and you know, he's so explosive. You know, when you give him the ball, it's like, man, there he goes. And listen, as special as Hunter is, our O-line is
amazing.
Yes, amazing is right, Hunter.
They kill it.
Hands down, best in the valley, man.
They're huge.
Those guys get they're big, but not just that. They, you know, because there's a lot of big guys out there, but these guys get after. So, credit to my coaching staff, Coach Budwig, Coach Almeida, on teaching these guys how to play football the right way. And when you watch those guys block, I mean, they are getting after it, man. There's no standing around, you know. And so I know Hunter understands. You know, he gives thanks. You're getting donuts, right?
Yeah. You got to keep those big hogs happy. So, yeah. Coach, really quick, before you get to Hunter, so what, like, how long were touchdowns? Were, you know, a couple short ones? Did you bust out a couple 60-yarders or –
I think the shortest run was like 5 yards. And then everything else was like, you know, 19, 20, 35. I don't think you had a really – did you have a big 60-yard or something like that? I think there was maybe one or two 50 or 60s.
I broke like – probably a 50-yard run, but I don't think I scored on any of them. I think I broke them and then just drove it in for like 15.
Your cleats didn't cleat, right?
Yeah, my cleats weren't cleating last night for some reason. I don't know. I was slipping all over the place.
But the awesome thing is he, I think he only had 29 carries.
Yeah.
29. You know, so yeah, he had, it was just big chunks. It wasn't like huge 90-yard runs or nothing. It was like 20, 30, 35, 25. It was like just, yeah, it was amazing, man. You know, I was asked after the game, how many yards do you think he had? I said, well, I got to go home, watch film and see. But I said, probably about 100. 400.
Obviously, the win is absolutely, that's the priority.
That's right.
That's A, number one. But when you're able to contribute, you know, offensively to your team getting in, what does that mean to you?
Well, knowing that, like, I could have, it's just a lot, honestly. Yeah. It is a lot knowing that you, like, you provide for your team like that, but I don't even.
What were your teammates telling you during the game? Did they talk to you like, hey, Hunter, you gotta get a touchdown here, or are they just encouraging you during the game?
Yeah, they're actually really encouraging. You know, they know that I'm gonna break a run, you know, so they, and also I praise them too for, you know, blocking. Like, my fullbacks do a great job, my lineman kills it deep, like tight ends just, they do their job, and I praise them for it because, like, I know I'm going to break a big run whenever they do their job. So.
Well, you keep giving them donuts.
Oh, yeah.
Heck yeah, they're going to keep doing it.
Paul, we have a very humble team, man. Our players, their scores came on long drives or sustained drives. They had to earn it.
And that's so, what our mindset was, is going into the fireball game, is no big plays.
Yep.
No, yeah.
Yep.
It definitely worked out. Coach, so looking at the stats, I see a Hunter Babb playing quarterback. He did not play quarterback last year. I know that for darn sure. So talk about how did that come about? You know, what's the offense looking like? Is he lining up at quarterback and just, you know, Hunter Babb right, Hunter Babb left? I mean, what's that look like? Well, you know, when did you make that decision? I guess I should ask as well.
Well, it wasn't my decision. It was a coaching staff decision. Mm-hmm. We had to put, we felt that the offense under our traditional offense wasn't flowing. And so we put our best athlete getting the ball. We put the ball in our hands of our best athlete early on. And we still do. But now we're transitioning into an offense where, you know, we'd call a traditional offense with a traditional quarterback. You know, Esmond stepped up last night and did a huge job, man. He managed the offense, you know. I mean, that's what you want from your quarterback, you know. So I'm really proud of the progress that Esmond Smith has made. To get to this point, to where we can give a different wrinkle, different look, and so we don't put so much of the burden on Hunter as well. I mean, that San Luis game, he had 42 carries. I think that's way too many. I mean, it is what it is. You do what you got to do to try to win a game. But looking ahead, you know, you got to figure out how are we going to lighten the load. It's a long season. So I'm really proud of how Esmond came in and managed the offense, man. You know, and gave us a different look. And so we'll see. You know, we'll continue to get better and add some wrinkles as we go. But yeah, he's a running back. He was never a quarterback. You know, I mean.
Playing quarterback's rough, man.
I bet.
But I will say this: his brother, standing right over here, holds the record for most wins as a quarterback with 29. Okay. He played his sophomore, junior, senior year, and he would have had more if it wouldn't have been for the COVID season, which was his senior year. So. So big shout out to Trenton Babb.
Awesome. Hunter, I want to ask you, what are your favorite type of running plays? You like running up the middle? Do you like taking to the outside and beating guys? Do you like lowering your shoulder a little bit, getting hit? What are your favorite type of running plays?
It varies. You know, every once in a while, I like to hit a big play outside. But up the middle, bounce outside, and I know Ward and the other coaches kind of get upset at me when it's just me and the safety, and I drop my shoulder instead of...
Yeah, let me help you out with this, Hunter. So Hunter takes after his brother Trenton, where he's in the open field, and he thinks he wants to make contact with the guy. Like, dude, boat race him, man. Like, you don't have to make contact, so he'll just lower his shoulder and make contact, you know. But
yeah, I did that a couple times.
I can appreciate that, you know. But we listen, Hunter, we're trying to keep you healthy, man. Yeah. You don't need to hit that guy, man.
I did a little bit. I did some research coming into this, and this is obviously not counting the Riverdale game from last night, but first three games out of what I counted again through Max Preps, through passing attempts and rushing attempts, out of 158 plays, Hunter ran the ball 103 times. So that's just according, I don't know, does that sound about right? That's just according to the pass attempts and amount of rushes. I added them all up. So that is about two-thirds of the play calls are to Hunter Babb. Does that sound about right?
Yeah, sounds about right.
Okay.
And on that note, we do have some other really good running backs as well.
Oh,
Noah Puga had a phenomenal game last night, over 100 yards rushing for the second week in a row, I believe.
Three touchdowns?
Yep.
Four touchdowns?
Yep. Abraham Lopez, phenomenal runner.
Mm-hmm.
We've got dudes, man. That's the beauty of it is, you know, like, okay, focus on Hunter. Here we go with, you know, Noah or
yeah, even Jaden Gomez.
And Jaden Gomez stepped up. Yeah. Junior.
He had a great game,
Jaden
too.
Jaden Gomez played great last night. Absolutely, Hunter. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you you mentioned some other plays. I think that other running back you mentioned had 9 carries for 100-something yards, I think, against Fireball.
No,
so,
Puga.
No.
Yeah. Okay. So who are some other dudes that, Coach, you felt have, like, stepped up this year?
Josiah Cardoza. Phenomenal linebacker. Really stepped up. Shoot, man.
This is his first year playing offense other than playing line. So he was playing fullback for me over a while.
Yeah, so we got Josiah Cardoza. We got him when Hunter's at the quarterback position. Right? he's standing there, and Josiah's right next to him, and Josiah's basically Hunter's fullback, right? So I think he's got one carry. But most of the time, so he's leading for him. So, yeah, Josiah Cardoza's really stepped up as well.
Hunter, I want to ask you about when did you start playing football? Like, have you been a football guy your whole life, or when did your football career really take off?
Yeah, I've been playing football for a while. I think I started maybe fifth or sixth grade-ish. I played like 2 years at Pop Warner, and then I took a hiatus from football, and then came back freshman year, and I was at my brother's I think it was his Valley game, his junior year. Yeah. And Coach Larry Almeida at the time came up to me and was like, so you're playing football, right? And I was like, oh, I don't know. And he was like, well, I mean, you have the build to be a linebacker. And I was like, oh. So, yeah, freshman year I came back and I played linebacker, which was the first year I got to play with my brother, his senior year, my freshman year. So.
And did you play – so you were on varsity as a freshman?
I was. I was a linebacker.
Talk to me, Coach, about that story.
Yeah, so that's the first time that since I've been coaching that's happened. I went to Carruthers as well. I never heard of a freshman playing varsity football. He's special, you know. He's a special kid. Everyone could see it back then, you know. So there's no reason for him to. That was the COVID season as well.
Mm-hmm.
Not that that had anything to do with it. So, you know, we only had 5 games that year, but we just saw something special in him. And here we are.
Well, what did you see that was special in him?
Just athleticism. Just athleticism, man. Just he's got that it factor. You know what I mean? Like, you could just see it. He's got it.
And you're not like super, super big either, Hunter. I mean, that's probably something that's right? You got the speed, right?
Yeah,
you can't teach speed.
Not super big. I got pretty fast, so.
You are fast. Yeah. I've seen the clips. Believe me, I've seen the clips. So, I mean, what's your height and what's your weight right now?
You know? I'm 5'8 on a good day.
We'll call today a good day.
Yeah, today's a good day, 5'8". And then 170, sitting at like 175 right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That's good size. I like it. So, Hunter, has there been a hit or a run that you remember the most, like in a game, like maybe you lowered a shoulder and hit a guy and everyone's like, ooh, or maybe a special run that you've had this in your career?
Not really, no. I mean, last season there was a couple of those runs that I'm just breaking arm tackles. I think not necessarily because I'm big, but just because I keep my legs pumping. I broke a lot of arm tackles last night, so... I had not a specific hit or play or anything. My sophomore year against Orange Cove, I got stopped in the backfield and had a concussion. And that's the year I had to sit out the Fowler game, which, man.
That was pretty hard.
That was rough. It was really rough. Yeah.
That was pretty hard. Talking with Hunter Babb of Carruthers and Coach Brandon Ward. Coach Ward, is there a special story that you can share about Hunter? And, you know, what he's brought in the field or off the field?
I think Hunter himself is a special story, to be honest with you.
I mean, he's here with his parents, his aunt and uncle, his brother. Mm-hmm. You know, God has good, big things in store for Hunter Babb. I'm really proud of what he's accomplished this part, not just athletically, man. It's about just the person that he is. He's humble. He's funny. You know, he's a goofball sometimes. But, you know, a lot of credit to his aunt and uncle for really taking him under his wing and raising him the right way.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So we got a few minutes here, guys. God, time flies by, doesn't it? So you guys, Liberty and Madera.
Oh, yeah.
Right? That's next on the schedule. And it looks like it's a home game for you guys. You know, when you play Liberty, you know what you're going to get. You're going to get tough football. You're going to get guys that like to hit, well-coached. Offensive line plays usually really well. Mm-hmm. What's the game plan against those guys, and what do you expect?
Haven't started game plan yet, to be honest with you. Haven't watched it film yet. But, you know, you know with the Mike Nolte team, you're going to get a very sound football program, a very sound football team coming in. So, and our players know that. So we're, you know, we'll get to work today. The coaching staff will, checking out their film. And, you know, they actually didn't get to play last night because, you know, Yosemite's down a little bit with their players. So, but we've got film on them from Dos Palos and Mendota, I believe it is. So we'll check that out. But we know we're going to get their A game. It's going to be, I expect, a really fun environment at home against Liberty next Friday.
How'd you do against them last year?
We actually... It was a tell of two halves. We came out and they kicked our butts the first half, and then we came out and shut them out the second half, and we came up, I think, 6 or 7 points shy, touchdown shy. But that was the turning point for our season, to be honest with you. You know, we really started playing sound football, you know, both sides, all three phases of the game. It all started that second half of Liberty.
Do you like with 8 schools in your league, right? Mm-hmm. And you play 7 league games, right on that. Do you enjoy that format? Like, is it like it is what it is?
It is what it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. A little bit about last year, and what did you guys learn about, you know, about your team, about your program last year? That Shafter game where you guys lost. But you guys, it was just an incredible, incredible football game. But what did you learn, Coach, and what did you take into this year from last year? Motivation? Are the kids just ready? Or,
Paul, I'll be honest with you. Last year's last year, to be honest. And we don't look back on that at all. It's what's done is done. You know, things happen for a reason. You know, we let that one slip away, and it is what it is. So refocus this year. Guys are bought in. And we're just looking to get better each and every week, find something we can focus on, get better in that aspect, and moving forward. So.
What is the ceiling for this year's team? Is there a ceiling, or are you just going game by game?
What do you think, Connor?
My goal this whole season is to finish every week 1-0.
Good answer, huh?
That's the goal. That is the goal. After 1 week's done, turn the page, it's a whole new week.
Absolutely.
But you got any college interest, any colleges, would you like to play at the next level? Not even think about that. Are you in that 1-0 mentality still?
Oh, well, I mean, we all have goals, you know, and I would love to play college ball, but, you know, just still waiting to hear from colleges.
Had some colleges poked a little bit around Coach Ward about Hunter?
Not with me. They've reached out to Hunter.
Yeah.
He's going to the Fresno State game tonight. Or you can speak for yourself. I don't want to speak for you.
I got invited to the Fresno State game tonight by their recruiting coordinator. So that's going to be interesting.
That is awesome. That's great.
Then I've heard from a D3 school called Mount Union in Ohio. So that's...
You got options.
Yeah.
You know, have some options. That's great. So we got about a minute here, guys. Hunter, do you have some favorite football players that you follow or some favorite teams? Or you just like football in general?
Yeah, I'm a Raiders fan. Okay. Big Josh Jacobs fan. But,
all right.
You know, Christian McCaffrey. I really look up to that guy, dude. He's killing it.
That's a good call.
Christian McCaffrey, yeah.
Good call. Coach, thank you guys for coming on. This has been
really good.
Yeah. You know, I love how you pour into your players, Coach, and, you know, Hunter's a special player. You know, I've seen the highlights on the field, and he's one of those dynamic running backs. It's probably a once-in-a-decade guy that you get to coach here. So congrats on all your success so far.
Thank you. Thank you. Paul, thanks for having us on, man. I appreciate everything you do for Central Valley Sports, man. Thank you for having us on.
Appreciate you. Thanks to First String Sports, Lee's Air Plumbing and Heating, Jorge Rodriguez, Gabe Camarillo, Aaron Wilkins, Andrew Pancotti, Hunter Babb, Coach Brandon Ward. This has been the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430.